have the question in your mind, why do we need to know anything about the Pharisees? You know, there's not any Pharisees anymore. That's been long gone for a long time now. But you know, the scripture, especially the book of Matthew, has got a lot to say about the Pharisees. And we look at those things concerning the Pharisees, and boy, there's not very much that Jesus said about them that's politically correct. I don't know if he can get away with that now. Somebody probably put up a big fuss about it, or the ACLU would come after you or something, because that 23rd chapter that Matthew writes, it is just about scathing with some of the things that he said about the Pharisees. He even called them snakes. That's not very complimentary. And yet, there were some good things about Pharisees, and Jesus does not deny this. But I'm sure that the question that's in most of your minds this morning would be, well, why do we need to study them? Why do we need to know about them? And my short answer for that is because we don't want to be like them. Jesus does not want us to be like the Pharisees. And you'll notice what Brett read this morning, including that 20th verse. Jesus said, except ye exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. You got to do better than what they did. And to some of us, when we read some of the things that they did, the things that they did right, as we have on the board, you might think, well, that's pretty hard. That's a tall order to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. And that's probably true. But the atmosphere and the environment that we're raised in today, it's also worthwhile to us to see the things that they did wrong and not to do what they did. You know, I've said it many times, about the only value that a mistake has is to see how not to do it the next time. And we see the things that they did wrong, and we want to make sure that we don't do it that way. Question came up this morning, and Brad and I were talking about it a little bit earlier. It was about prayer, and we want to cover that this morning. But I want to sort of compare the things that they did right with the things that they did wrong. And then we'll talk about the third point, and that is what they didn't do at all that they ought to have been doing. And some of these things are going to sound pretty familiar to us today, because I don't know why we couldn't substitute our own Christian lives and sort of put ourselves in their place and to make sure that we're not condemned as Christians today as Jesus did the Pharisees in so many cases. So I want to start this morning with, I really want to start with something that Mark Twain said one time. Mark Twain, very notable writer. He's the writer that gave us Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. But he was a philosopher in his own right. One of the statements that he made one time, he says, concerning the Bible and spiritual things, he said, I don't worry too much about what the Bible says that I don't understand. He said, I worry about what it says that I do understand. Now, that's something to think about for sure. So the things that we don't understand about the Bible is one thing, but when we do understand it and then we're not obedient to it, then that's a cause for concern. And certainly it was, as Jesus criticized the Pharisees, and we've got some criticisms of them this morning, same ones that Jesus had. And as you look at this picture that Ryan put up here for us, you'll notice that each one of these people, and they do represent the Pharisees of that day, they've got special garments on. And one of the things that Jesus told us as Christians, and I'm certainly going to paraphrase this morning, he said, don't try to outdo other people. Don't try to outdo other people. Don't put on costly garments. That's not what God looks at. God looks at the heart, not the outward part of man. Don't wear fancy titles. And boy, if you look at religion today, look how many fancy titles that there are in religion today. One of the things that we need to avoid in the church, in the Lord's church, is that we don't build ourselves up to be better than somebody else. Boy, the Pharisees were bad about this. And that was part of not only their religion, it's part of their politics too. Remember that under the law of Moses that they lived in, under, the law of Moses was not only a moral law, but it was a civil law too. So in some ways they were as much a political party as they were a party of moralists from the moral end of teachings. And the things that Jesus taught, he said, just don't do that. Avoid that. Don't make yourself, blow yourself up bigger than what you really are. Don't go around with fancy titles. He even goes so far as to tell us, he said, don't call any earthly man your father. Don't say father this and father that. He said, you don't have but one father, and that father is your father in heaven. Now, he's not really talking about your biological DNA father. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about people that like titles. And we've got plenty of that in religion today. Some of those titles, that you might recognize them. I saw one the other day. This gentleman who was no doubt religious, I wouldn't take that away from him at all, but he called himself the Right Reverend so-and-so. And when I heard that, I thought, I kind of scratched my head and I said, the Right Reverend, is that opposed to the Wrong Reverend, or what is that? The Right Reverend so-and-so. And then we've got religions that use that term Father. And the Jews, they like titles like Rabbi, Great Teacher, as if somebody was elevated. He was above somebody else. And Jesus goes over there and he says, don't do that. Don't distinguish yourself. I noticed in many Christian religions today that the garb that people wear, that preachers wear, ministers, the clergy, so to speak, they wear garments that nobody else is allowed to wear. Some of them wears that white collar. They don't have a tie on, but they wear a white collar. Some of them wear black, long black robes. They distinguish themselves as if they're different from everybody else. Jesus said, you shouldn't be different from each other. As a matter of fact, in the church, the higher you go in the church, the lower you really are, because even in the eldership, he said, don't you forget it, elders. He said, you're servants. That's what you really are. You're not there to wear some big title or some big garment that nobody else is allowed to wear. You don't come out with a big fancy cross and all of this. You're there to serve other people, and a servant is a humble person. And that's what he requires of the eldership. And that's what it requires of preachers. And yet we've got a little bit of us, we've got a little bit of that in us, even in the Church of Christ today, and we oughtn't to have. And if we do that, we catch ourselves, we ought to go back and look at what Jesus said about the Pharisees. It's not what we're all about. We don't even think of it, but I think that we ought to be real careful that we call the preacher Brother Edens, but we refuse to call anybody else Brother so-and-so, because that sets the preacher apart from everybody else. And the preacher is just as human as anybody else is. He's just as subject to mistakes, just as subject to sin as anybody else. And so the preacher in the Lord's church oughtn't to be viewed as any different than anybody else. He certainly oughtn't to be elevated. And boy, these Pharisees, they love titles. They love being lifted up. And if we've got other members of the church that feel that way, that's a Pharisee kind of religion. And Jesus said, we've got to do better than them. Your righteousness has got to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. He didn't say that the Pharisees were unrighteous. He just says to us as Christians that we've got to do better than what they did. Let me show you some of the things that they did right. And we're going to compare them with the things that they did wrong. Now, he starts this actually all the way back on the Sermon on the Mount. That's what Brett read to us this morning, just an excerpt from it. But you'll find it throughout the book of Matthew. And some of the other gospel writers will do the same thing. But Matthew, because he was a Jew writing to Jews, he seems to mention it more than anybody else. One of the things that they did right is that they worshiped regularly. They worshiped regularly. Not anything was wrong with it. How could Jesus criticize anybody that worshiped regularly? He wants us to worship regularly. But they did. But what they did in worshiping regularly, they expected to receive a pat on the back for that. They wanted people to look at them and say, "Oh, look how religious the Pharisees are because they worship regularly." For those of us that worship regularly, we don't do it for the pat on the back that somebody else gives us. That's not the purpose of it. And if we are doing that, then we've got a Pharisee religion. That's not the purpose of it. Now, that purpose ought to be to please the Lord. To be sure that there were men of that day that did it for no other reason than to be elevated above their fellow men. Another thing that they did that was right was that, Brandon, we were talking about prayer this morning. They prayed. How can anybody find any fault with prayer? Jesus certainly do it. Didn't find any fault with it. I counted either 20 or 21. I lost count, but I counted either 20 or 21 specific occasions where Jesus himself prayed to his Father. Boy, that's a lot of... Now, that doesn't mean that the whole time Jesus here on this earth, he only prayed 21 times. That doesn't mean that at all. But there's that many recordings of his prayers. And so Jesus was pro-prayer, I can guarantee you. And he tells these Pharisees, he said, when you pray, don't pray for the praises of men. That's not the purpose of prayer. Don't pray, and again, I'm paraphrasing right here, but I want to make sure I get the point across it. When we pray, it's not to use big words and show the world how big our vocabulary is or how much we know about the Word of God. Jesus said that those kinds of prayers were not acceptable to God. The Pharisees prayed, but they prayed in public for pretense, for show. They like for somebody to come up and pat them on the back and say, "Boy, that sure was a wonderful prayer. Nobody can pray like you can," and boy, they just ate it up. They really enjoyed people praising them for their prayer. And so they'd get out in a public place, in maybe a marketplace or on the street corner, and they'd pray long prayers up to the Lord, and people that couldn't do as good a job in the eyes of men as praying as they could, they really praised them. And of course, again, the Pharisees, they really enjoyed that. Here's what Jesus said about prayer. He said, when you pray, this is good for every one of us. Now, we're commanded to have public prayer in church. If we didn't have public prayer in the worship service here at Mount Zion, we wouldn't be fulfilling what we are told to do in the worship service. But here's what Jesus said about prayer. He said, when you pray, don't stand out on the street corners expecting somebody to pat you on the back for what a wonderful prayer that you prayed. He said, don't even do it in public at all for that reason. He said, when you pray, go home, go in your house, go in your closet, shut the door, where nobody can hear you, and then you just pray to God. And it's a one-on-one situation, just you and God. Nobody's going to pat you on the back for it. Nobody's going to praise you. Nobody's going to tell you what a good job you did with your prayer. That's not the purpose of it. It's just pouring your heart out to God, just one-on-one. Nobody's going to ever know. And if you didn't do a good job with the prayer, that's nobody else's business. It's going to be that God judges you on that prayer. people that are sincere, when it comes from the, that's the kind of prayer that God wants to hear. God's not impressed with big flowery prayers and long-winded things and high-toned language. That's not what God wants to hear from you. And if you're praying like that, and for that reason, that's a Pharisee prayer, and it's condemned. That's not the way God wants us to pray. It's to pray to God, to deliver that message to God of what is in your heart. So they prayed, and that was a good thing, but the way they prayed and what it was for was a bad thing. And that's something that we as Christians ought to remember today. Here's another thing that Jesus criticized them for. They fasted. Now, he didn't criticize them for fasting. Wasn't anything wrong with fasting. But he criticized them for fasting for show, for other people to look at it. Here's what they would do when you fast. When you do without food, you go for a period of time without food. I suspect that the idea was that people would be able to look at you and tell that you're fasting. I don't know how they did that. You know, Beverly and I go someplace to eat, and I can't tell who just got through eating and who didn't, or who's about to eat, unless they got a toothpick sticking out of their mouth. I can sort of tell by that. But the idea that Jesus is doing right here, Christians, we need to hear this. This is good for us. He said, when you fast, and again, we don't have a scriptural commandment for us per se to fast. That's something that's, again, that's between you and God. He said, if you're going to do that, he said, what I want you to do, he said, wash your face, comb your hair, put on some clean clothes, and don't go around with a hangdog look on your face that other people's going to look at you and say, oh, he must be fasting. Look at him. You can just see it in his face. He's fasting. He said, make out like you're not fasting. Look like you're cleaned up, and don't let other people know that. Don't brag about fasting. That's not what it is. And if we're doing that, now again, I'm not criticizing fasting at all. Maybe more of us ought to do it. It wouldn't hurt me a bit to do a little of it myself. Again, though, that we're not specifically commanded to do that, but if we're doing it for show, we're doing it for the wrong reason. It ought to be between us and God, nobody else. Here's another thing that they did. They tithed. Jesus specifically mentioned that. And again, today, I wouldn't criticize anybody for tithing. That's what they did under the law of Moses. We're told under the New Testament, we're not told to tithe. We're told to give as we're prospered. It might mean more. Tithe simply means a tenth. They were commanded to give a tenth under the law of Moses. Rich or poor, didn't make any difference what your status in life was. You was to give exactly a tenth. Now, it may be that you're able to give more than a tenth. And if that's what you can do, you should do. It might be that you're not financially able to give a tenth. And God doesn't require you to give a tenth. But they tithe. They gave a tenth, whoever they were. But they did it for show. They did it for personal glory. Here's what Jesus tells us about our giving. When we give to the treasury of the church, we're not to do that for show. It's not a flashy thing that we do. If I intend to give a $100 bill, I don't hold the $10 bill up and wave it around to the congregation before I drop it in the plate. If I'm doing that, I'm giving like a Pharisee. I shouldn't expect somebody to come around and say, oh, David, what a wonderful thing that you're doing by giving a $100 bill. That's not the reason that I should be doing that. It ought to be privately. It ought to be. Jesus even goes so far as this. Now, this is pretty good. He said, don't even let you know your left hand what your right hand's doing. When you give, it's not to be broadcasted. It's not anybody else's business how much you give to the church. Here at Mount Zion, we don't send out pledge cards. We don't go around and ask people what they're giving because it's not our place to do that. And we don't want to violate the way of giving what Jesus is talking about. That's what the Pharisees did. And that's not our place. We ought to examine ourselves. We ought to make sure that we're giving liberally and cheerfully. And there's a lot of other adverbs and adjectives that describes the way that we give. It's not a cop-out that to give just as little as you can get away with. Nobody's going to know it anyway. That's not the point of it. We're missing again. That's a Pharisee giving. But Jesus criticized them for that. Now, they were right by giving, but they were wrong in the way that they were doing it. Here's one. Now get this one. Now this was a law under the law of Moses. The law said, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Sabbath was the seventh day of the week. Now when the church started, that was changed from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week. Here it is, Sunday, first day of the week, and we're meeting today. We didn't meet yesterday, religiously. And so they kept the Sabbath. They were religious about that. We've got too many Christians today that they don't keep the first day of the week. Too many people that wear their name Christian today that are not in church today, and they ought to be. But we ought not to go to church for show. We ought not to go to church because when we go to work tomorrow morning, if somebody comes around and says, did you go to church yesterday? You can say, yes, I went to church yesterday, and be proud of it in that way as if it was for show. That's not the purpose of our going to church. Again, that's personal between us and God. We do it because we love God. We don't keep the Sabbath, but we keep the first day of the week. They kept the Sabbath because it was a good thing to do with their fellow Pharisees. They didn't want to be caught with a fellow Pharisee saying, how come you didn't keep the Sabbath yesterday? And that was a serious thing under the law of Moses. Another thing that they did, what they did that was right and what they did, is they kept the law. They were meticulous about keeping the law of Moses. Not just the Sabbath, about keeping the law of Moses. But what they did wrong in keeping the law is that they exalted themselves. Notice this attitude of exaltation. We see that over and over and over again. It's for the praises of men. They kept the law not for the sake of keeping the law, but they kept the law for the sake of what other people were saying, and again for praises and for honor, and they ought not to have done it. We ought not to keep the law today, that is the law of Christianity especially, simply because it's expected of us. That's not the reason that we ought to do it. We ought to do it because we love God, because it is His law, and this is what God wants us to do. All the things within Christianity, they did it, but they did it for the wrong reason. We ought to do it, not like the Pharisees, but for the right reason. Moral conduct. Boy, if there was ever a society in the history of man that needs preaching on moral conduct, we need it right now. This is the rottenest generation that I've ever seen. In the way that people talk, in the way that people dress, in the way that people act, it is rotten. And the so-called idols that people look up to nowadays, they're the worst of all. I always have had a suspicion that Hollywood, California would be a bad place to look for role models. I know it now. Don't you? Parents, be careful with what your kids are seeing on television, because it's rotten. It's nasty. That's an old word people don't like to use, but it's a good word. It sure is. Moral conduct. Now, here were people right here that was almost above repudiation on moral conduct. Jesus didn't criticize them, but said, your morals are not what they ought to be. Jesus never said that about their moral conduct. But he did say this. He said, here's what you people are, you Pharisees. He said, you remind me of a platter or a cup, clean on the outside and dirty on the inside. He said, that's what you are. He said, people look at you from the outside and they think that you're really moral people, but you're not. And he said, here's the way that you would do in your homes, washing dishes. He said, it's fine to have the outside of the bowl and the cup to be clean. That's good. We all would want that. But it's a lot more important that it be clean on the inside. And he said, you Pharisees need to clean yourself up on the inside. He said, here's what you remind me of. He said, you remind me of a grave. It's all pretty on the outside. He called it a white sepulcher where they whitewashed the tombstone. But it's like a grave that you'd see out here in the cemetery. You see it on top and the grass is all mowed and it's neat. And you got flowers on the tombstone. And if there's any bushes or briars grow up, we get rid of them. But he said down under there, it's just full of dead men's bones. It's just rottenness. He said, that's where you people are. You're rotten on the inside. You look good on the outside to other people, but you're rotten on the inside. That's their moral conduct. And then personal work. That's what we're going to be talking about this afternoon for the men here at 4:30. About evangelism. He said, here's what you... Jesus didn't criticize them for evangelism, for personal work. He said, you'll go out here in the world and you'll proselyte people to the Jewish religion, that is people that are not Jews. Bring them into the Jewish religion, and what do? You give them this long list of things that you've been doing and the way you see it ought to be done. And he said, when you get on with them, he said, they're twofold more the child of a devil after you get on with them than there was before you started. Now that's criticism. In other words, you'd have been better off just left them alone. If we do that as Christians today, if we make people worse than they were before they became Christians, we've done them a disservice. And sometimes Christians have a tendency to do that. It could be in gossip. It could be in language. There's many ways that it can be done. But personal work, Jesus doesn't. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 15. Jesus doesn't criticize us for doing personal work. He wants us to do personal work. But the idea of it is to improve the lives of those that become Christians, not to make them worse. And then the last point that I want to make on this is it's about studying. If anybody knew the Bible, the Scriptures, the Pharisees knew it. You see this group of people there on the board? These were learned people. They were scholars. The Pharisees, above any other sect that lived during that day, which was the Sadducees, the Essenes, other groups, they knew more about the Bible than anybody. We're talking about Old Testament now. New Testament hadn't been written at this time. They really knew Scriptures, and they studied. But you know what they studied for? And not because it was good for them. And that's what Paul tells Timothy about us, and that's what he wants us to... Here's what he tells us as Christians. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God. What? Study to show yourself approved unto God. We shouldn't study for the wrong reason, as the Pharisees did. They studied to see how many people they could condemn. That's not what the studying the Scriptures is all about. It's to study to see who we can condemn. The study of the Scripture is to show ourselves approved unto God. God, this is your word. I love it. And the only way I'm going to find out what you've got to say to me is to study it. How much do we as Christians know what God wants of us? Well, we don't know near enough if we don't study. We are to study to show ourselves approved, not to condemn somebody else. I wonder how many calls that I get or how many times that people will say, where does it say in the Bible so-and-so? I was in this discussion with somebody else, and I'm thinking to myself, if you had been studying the way that God wants you to study, you wouldn't have to ask me. What do I know? I'm just a preacher. How many times do we hear that? Just to condemn somebody else. That's the wrong reason to study. Well, don't study for that reason. If the only reason that you study the Bible is because somebody has come up with some idea that you don't agree with or that you don't understand, that's all you're going to study, then you're just wasting your time. That's not the reason that we ought to study. We ought to study to show ourselves approved unto God. The Pharisees had a superficial religion. It never did really penetrate their heart, and that's what God wants our heart to be. They lived by the letter of the law and not by the spirit. They lived by the technicalities of it. God doesn't want us to live that way. The Apostle Paul said, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Let me give you a modern day example of a Pharisee type of Christian, and then we'll stop. A few years ago, when we were going to Richardsville, we had a gospel meeting and had a preacher there. His name was Brother Fletcher. He was from Manchester, Tennessee. And boy, he was a fireball. He was a good preacher. And he gave an example that has stuck with me all these years. He said that the place where he was preaching in Manchester, Tennessee, he said that they had Wednesday night services just like that we do here at Mount Zion. That some of you didn't know. That one night that there was a faithful member of the church on his way to church. And before he got to church, he ran up on a wreck. And this lady was hurt pretty badly. It was red blood. I don't know what. And he was the first one that arrived on the scene. He got out of his car and he went over to see if he could help. And he called 911 for the ambulance. And he told this lady, he said, now I will stay and wait for the ambulance to get here, but I don't want to be late for church. Are you hearing that? That's a Pharisee Christian. That's a perfect example of prayer, dream, and secret. I can't stand and help them, but I've got to get to church on that. And he had a whole sermon on it, and I remember that so very well. That's been years ago, and I never have forgot. And that's the kind of religion that we've got. Certainly it's important that we attend services and be there on time, but if there's something else, God, that's the reason God gives us more sense and judgment. When there's something else that's more important than that is somebody is hurt, and there's something as Christians we can do to help, make a judgment. Do the right thing. I don't know if we got to church on time or not, but there it was. That's the first thing we did. So I want to ask you this morning. The things that we talked about this morning, do they mean anything to you? I hope that we as members of the church here at Mount Zion don't have a Pharisee religion. And I hope that we know those things that we need to avoid each and every. Finish on this note right here. The last point that we had on the board, the things that they didn't do at all were probably as guilty as the Pharisees on the things that we're already doing and we're not doing. It's one of the reasons that we're going to meet together this afternoon here at 4:30. Is to see if there's some things that we could be doing that we haven't been doing. We're going to be practicing tonight. Should there be one here this morning who's outside of Christ, we invite you to come and pray for all the things that are for you.
Just as I am.